Jesus doesn't heal like that anymore, right? On Friday evening, I was at the fall gala for the University of Mary, and the students were the servers, and one of them, a senior, I went up to and I asked her, "Beth, do you still remember me?" Beth, and she gave me permission to share her story. 3.5 years ago, she had an incident when she was a freshman, and her whole memory was wiped. I went and visited her. I got a call that one of the students was in the psych ward. I was like, "Oh, what happened?" Well, she lost all of her memory. "What?" And so I went as her family was coming because they had to fly in from California. And I sat there across from her. She had no clue who I was. She had no idea what state she was in, what state she was from. When her parents arrived, she didn't recognize them at all, had no clue who these people who called them her friends were. The doctors diagnosed her with dissociative amnesia. She still had muscle memory, but any personal memories and memories of identity, all of that was just gone. And so she was a week in the psych ward before she went home with these people who called them her parents, as much as she knew. And Robin, her mom, would call every now and then throughout the year. And it was heartbreaking because all these things she had to relearn, these people who loved her. That summer, the summer of 2018, I went on a 30-day silent retreat. And one of the big graces that came from that was something that God wanted to bring healing to the students on the campus. And so I reached out to someone who I was roommates with in college. We studied abroad in Austria, and it was there that he had this massive conversion. And he began this Encounter Ministries. And so they came to campus on the Saturday before Palm Sunday in 2019 to have a healing service where they were praying for physical healing for people, that people can actually really encounter the power of Jesus Christ in this way. And so Beth, her friends, brought her to this, and there were 400 students in Our Lady of Annunciation Chapel. And at one point in the evening, we were praying for those who had any brain injuries to be healed. And Beth said when they mentioned that, she was filled with this great anxiety, but she stood up to be prayed for. And her friend, because she was so scared, her friend just held her. And as they were praying, she said she felt an incredible wave of warmth flow through her. And she sat back down and laid down. And though she said it was like this cloud, this fog that had been there all throughout the past 1 year and 7 days since the incident had happened, was burst and cleared. And she felt this immense rush of God's love through her and power. And she stood up and turned to her friends and said, "I remember. My memories are back. I remember now." And she was filled with this joy. And her memories, her mind had been healed. 3 weeks ago, I went to Watford City. Father Brian Gross is the pastor there. And he had in the church for the whole town a healing service there. And there was a number of different healings that had happened. A Lutheran pastor came who had a degenerative back condition. He was healed. Someone with color blindness was there. Their full sight was restored. There were four priests and then one seminarian, Isaiah Fisher. And we had broken down into prayer teams, and one of the people that came to Isaiah and myself was a man who works in the oil field, and he had, just over a year and a half ago, he had an accident where his thumb was smashed. It was greatly injured. And it physically, I mean, he said it was still about a 7 out of 8 in terms of pain, and he couldn't move it at all. And so he had to do most everything with his left hand and could help out with his right a little bit in the midst of his work. And so we prayed over his hand. I asked him, well, what are you experiencing? He said, it's like there's this warm water rushing through it. We'll pray again. And we prayed over it. And he said, the pain is gone. And he said, I'm able to move it all around. I could hold my wife's hand now. I could hold a beer now with his hand. But he had received this healing within his hand. Jesus still heals. Jesus still heals, and he desires to heal. What does the church have to give to the world? To an unbelieving world that's very skeptical, what does the church have to offer to the world? It's not simply communicating a message. Jesus is Lord. He died for your sins. That he loves you and gives you eternal life. What we have to communicate and to give to the world is divine power. That when you were baptized into the body of Jesus Christ. That you are part of his body. When you received confirmation, you received the power of the Holy Spirit such that the Spirit of God lives within you. And there's a power that people are able to encounter Jesus Christ through you and I, through his church, through those who believe in him. But we live in a world in which it's as skeptical as I was for almost the entire week sitting across from Beth. I'm like, she's faking it. It's something out of a movie. Something you'd see on like House, the TV show. Somebody whose complete memory is just wiped. And you're like, I'm like, really? And so I'd like test her every night. It's as skeptical as I was sitting. It's as skeptical as you are hearing about all this as well. But Jesus Christ, in this world, which says, don't tell me, show me. A world that's skeptical says, listen, don't just tell me about the gospel. Show me. Don't just tell me about how powerful Jesus Christ is. Show me that he is. Show me it. Does the church have anything to offer me? We have the power of Jesus Christ because we are his body and we have his spirit within us. And Jesus wants to get us out of our heads. As powerful and as important as it is for us to be able to reason and to seek and to find real truth, we can get stuck in our heads. And Jesus wants us to encounter him, not just with our minds, but he wants us to encounter him in the flesh, in our bodies. That when you encounter Jesus in that way, you can't go from being blind to seeing and deny that that happened. You can't lose all your memory and then have it return and deny that happened. There's this power, but there are two powers within us. And those two powers, everyone, those two powers within us are within the gospel today. Because this power within us, it's activated through faith, but it's diffused. Water's poured upon it through discouragement. So the power of faith, which you see in Bartimaeus, which is within you as well, that part of you that even admits your skepticism, that part of you which pulls and says, I want to believe that. I want to believe that Jesus can heal me in that way. I would really love to believe that he could actually even do that through me. That part of you that really wants to encounter in a very real way Jesus Christ. And that's that power of faith in which Bartimaeus cries out to Jesus, longs to go to him. But there's also another power within you as well. And it's the power of discouragement, which is from darkness, it's from the evil one. And you see it in the gospel. When Bartimaeus desires to go to Jesus, Jesus, have mercy on me. What does that other power of discouragement say to you? Shut up! Just keep sitting right there. He doesn't want anything to do with you. Be silent. You're just going to be disappointed. He might be able to do this for other people, but not for you. So just be quiet. Sit there beside the road. But the great virtue of Bartimaeus is he sat by the road and he sat there begging. And he wouldn't allow discouragement, the power of discouragement, to deter his faith. Jesus, have mercy on me. And Jesus calls him to himself. And he receives his sight. It's discouragement that blinds you. It's discouragement that blinds us. But God desires to bring us healing. And so what's the action thing for you? Two things. First, you have a power within you. You have faith within you, which is stronger than you think it is. So don't be afraid to pray with other people. And just simply, in Jesus' name, ask for healing. But more than that even, because it takes to receive that oftentimes first. If you're suffering from physical pains, from a cancer within inside of you, that you're suffering even with an infertility or whatever it might be, come and find me. Catch me after Mass. Wait until I greet people at the end and wait in here. And Father, can you please pray over me? Don't let that part of you which says, I don't want to bug Father. He's too busy. I don't want to bother him. This is too small. That's that voice of discouragement, and it's there and it's real. You recognize it. So do I. But instead, in having faith, and I'll pray over you. And we pray with an expectant faith, which is different than just a skeptical faith. Expectant faith isn't, I really hope Jesus does hear something here. I really hope Jesus shows up when I pray here. Expectant faith is knowing that Jesus is going to do something here. He's going to show up. I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know what level of healing he's going to bring here. Whether he's going to do a miraculous healing or whether he's going to give them actual hope within this, which is a heck of a healing. But to pray with expectant faith that he will bring that healing to you. So please bother me in that way. Because the alternative is to sit beside the road, not even begging, but to sit beside the road with all these things and sit in our self-pity and sulk. Instead of with faith like Bartimaeus, cry out to Jesus and beg him. Jesus, have mercy on me. Heal me. I'm going to close, if I can, just with one last account. And it's an account from Andrew Lautenbacher. He was a 22-year-old from Southern California. And he went through his teenage years, you know, the teenage, I'm an atheist, blah, 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 that stuff. And he went to a Steubenville youth conference, and he encountered there Jesus. He encountered a real person. And so he tells this account where he was out surfing. He loves surfing. And he was out surfing, and he was finished for the day, and he was coming in with his board, and he saw a girl sitting on the beach in her wheelchair. And he said he experienced this incredible pull within him. Now, he had heard about, and he'd even seen a couple healings. He never prayed with it himself, but he felt this pull to go in to pray with this girl. And so I'll just tell you from his own words. I got out of my wetsuit and dried off and approached the girl who was with her parents. They didn't speak English, but the girl did. I went up and asked how she was doing and if she wanted prayer or for anything. The fear of rejection, of having nothing happen when I prayed, was real and strong, but I went anyway. As I asked her what was going on with her and why she was in a wheelchair, she began to pour out her life to me. It was shocking. She had just gotten out of the hospital because she had tried to kill herself for the second time. She had done meth and several other drugs and struggled with depression and anxiety. She had difficulty walking because she had cerebral palsy since she was born. After she said all this, I was extremely moved with compassion and the conviction that God wanted to encounter her, and boldness came over me, casting out all fear that I was not good enough to pray with her. So I prayed for healing for her condition, for peace and the power of the Holy Spirit to flood her body. When I prayed for a little while, I asked her to get up and walk. She began to walk and realized she was walking straighter and with less pain. Then I prayed over her knees. They visibly were crooked and sticking out in opposite directions. But after the prayer, they were perfectly straight. When her parents saw that she was walking better and her knees were straightened out, they were shocked. After all this, I asked her what she was experiencing, and she said her knees were hot and her body was tingling and there was no pain in her body. I told her, "That's Jesus, baby." It turned out she was Catholic, but not into her faith at all. I told her to get to Mass and confession and receive the forgiveness that God wanted to give her. I stayed in touch with her after that day. She texted me to tell me she went to confession and Mass and said she felt freer and lighter than she had ever experienced before. She'd experienced the love of God, she said. After reflecting on that experience and many more, I am convinced that as the scripture says, and he quotes 1 Corinthians 4:20, the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. I want to pray over you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Jesus in the gospel speaks to you, and he asks you, "What do you want me to do for you? What healing do you want to ask Jesus for?" God our Father, send your Holy Spirit, your power to fill these, your loved ones. See the faith that they approach you with. And I speak to you, all illnesses, all injuries, I speak to you, anything that torments you, body, mind, or spirit, in the name of Jesus, be healed. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.